Simon was eagerly waiting for Jesus. And what are we waiting for this Christmas? I remember my mother always had this thing that she would say when times were tough or things were going quite her way. She'd always say, well, I'm just waiting till my boat gets in or my ship gets in. She always was hoping for some type of input of income or something good to happen. She'd wait till my ship comes in. And you know, her ship never came in. What are you waiting for? Someone may be waiting for a new job, a new career. You might be waiting for a mate. You may be waiting for fill in the blank. But I think all of us, like Simeon, are ultimately waiting for something more than that, and waiting for Jesus. Simeon went to the temple that day, not by accident, but by God's design. And all of us are here this afternoon by God's design, by his orchestrating of events, so that you and I might encounter Jesus. Let's look at the verses here in Luke chapter 2. Dr. Luke writes these words. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. Now, we don't know how often Simeon would go to the temple. We don't know how often or how long he would stay. But this day in particular, God tapped him on his heart shoulder, if you will, and said, I want you to go to the temple. And it just so happens, quote unquote, that he got there and was there when Joseph and Mary entered the temple. God orchestrated that event so he would see the baby Jesus. And in the same way, you're not here this afternoon by accident. You're here by God's design to encounter Jesus. There have been folks who have been praying for all of you here this afternoon. Folks have been praying for those they have invited. And so we've been praying, and so glad you're all here to be able to hear this good news. Now, why is this baby Jesus so important for us to encounter? And here it is. Jesus is God's gift of salvation. We read on. It says, he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all the people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And that word nations there means ethnic groups. Every ethnic group, every person in the whole world, he came to be a light to them. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. Now, what is this salvation all about? Why is it that we need Jesus so much? And here it takes me. If you forget anything I say today, please remember this. You and I were all created by God and for God. And we're created to have a relationship with him. But something happened at the very beginning of time where the first man and the first woman rebelled against God and chose to go their own way. They did things that were wrong, and they thought things that were wrong, and sin came into the world. And what sin did, our wrong deeds and our wrong thoughts, what it did is it separated us from our Creator God. And as a result, we have the punishment of our sin to be eternal death in a place of eternal torment called hell. And the worst thing is, we can't do anything about it. We can never be good enough, because God is perfectly holy, and all of our best attempts at goodness fall far short of his perfect holiness. I like to illustrate that for a moment. Who in the room thinks they're stronger than I am and can throw a ping pong ball farther? Anybody? I see some hands. Yes. Right on the second row. Come on up. Here we got a gentleman who thinks he can throw it farther than I can. Come on up. Yay! Give him a round of applause. What's your name?
Ethan.
Okay, here's your ping pong ball. Now, our goal is to throw it to that back wall there. Do you think you can get it there? Mm-hmm. You think so? Okay. So on the count of three, we're going to throw it straight out that way. Now, all of you where the balls are going to come, you just let it fall and let it naturally take its course of events on the floor, okay? All right, you ready? On the count of three, we're going to throw it right there. You ready? Do you want to warm up? Okay, all right. One, two, three. Whoa, you did throw it farther than me. Wow, congratulations. Thank you, Ethan. Now, did either Ethan and I hit that back wall? No. No matter how far anyone could throw it, I don't think anyone could throw a ping pong ball unless you're Superman or something like that. The point is, no matter whose ball went farther, we both missed the wall. And the same thing is true for us in relationship to God. No matter how good we are, the best of the best, no matter how religious we are, we fall short. And the saddest thing is that after we lived our whole life trying to be good and pleasing God, we end up at the same place where we started from. And these ping pong balls came all the way back to the front. And that's where we end up at the end of our lives, all the way back, still separated from God, still facing an eternity of eternal torment. Now here's the good news, and this is where Jesus comes in. Jesus came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus came, he was the Son of God, and he took on sinless humanity, and he was able then to die for the sins of the world. And he paid the price for our sins and rescued us from our sins. Amen? Now, 2010, there was a mining accident in, I just forgot the location. Chile, yes, thank you. Chilean miners were mining underground about 2,000 feet below ground when all of a sudden there was the mine caved in and they were trapped 2,300 feet underground and there was no possible way for them to escape. The world was watching. Well, not only the Chilean government, but the whole world, different companies came in, United States, NASA came in. They came in to try to drill little holes down to find out where they were. On the 17th day, when they pulled one of the drill bits out, they found a note saying that we're all well, all 33 of us. And over the course of 69 days, they finally drilled a hole big enough down to them that they could slip this capsule made special just for this, down 2,300 feet, and one man would get on the capsule, they'd extract him out. It took them 12 hours to pull all 33 of them out. Now, my point is this. Those men, on their own, 2,300 feet below ground level, could not save themselves from certain death. It took something or someone outside of above on the surface of the earth to be able to rescue them. That's what Jesus did for us. We're unable to save ourselves, to rescue ourselves from our sin. But Jesus left the splendor of heaven and came from outside our world into our world as a God-man. And he died on the cross for our sins. Now, as Joseph and Mary came into the temple, Simeon was waiting. And the Spirit of God tapped him on the shoulder of his heart and says, "That's what you're waiting for. That's who you're waiting for." And maybe today God is tapping you on the shoulder of your heart and saying to you, "That's what you've been waiting for. That's who you've been waiting for. It's absolutely important, imperative, that everyone see God's salvation as Simeon did before they face death. What must we do to be saved? Trust Jesus for salvation. Just as Simeon believed the promise of God that a Savior would come, so we must believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. In Acts 16, we have recorded this incident by Dr. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Talks about Paul being in prison with Silas, and they miraculously are freed from their chains, and the jail cell opens up, and the jailer comes in, and he says, he's just overwhelmed by this, and he says to them, "Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household.'" What must we do to be saved by Jesus Christ is to trust him, to transfer all of our trust from ourselves onto Jesus for forgiveness of our sin. Just like when you sat in that chair and that seat, when you sat in it, you were trusting it completely to hold you up. And so you transferred your trust from the floor onto the seat. The Apostle Paul put it this way, talking about a gift. He says, it's that God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so not one of us can boast about it. It's a gift. When you open presents this Christmas, you're receiving a gift from someone. And I don't know about you, but I've never had anyone around our Christmas tree at our home who got a gift who, before they tore the paper off, got their wallet out and wanted to pay me for it. Right? I mean, that would be ridiculous. It's a gift. All you have to do with a gift is what? Receive it. And that's the same thing it is with salvation. It's the same thing with God's gift of salvation. Why is it that we try to pay for it by being good, by being religious, when all we're asked to do is realize that we've done wrong things, admit to that to God, and say, "Forgive me, I trust you. I receive this gift by trusting in Jesus Christ." That's the good news. That's the miracle of Christmas, and that's what Simeon so desired to see in his lifetime, and we get to see it in this lifetime. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you so much for this time of year where we celebrate the birth of your Son. I thank you for Simeon, who patiently, eagerly waited for the coming of Jesus, and that you orchestrated his life to the point that you made sure he was in that temple on that day when Joseph and Mary walked in, and he was able to see your salvation, to see Jesus. I thank you, Father, for everyone in this room right now. I thank you for the many who have already trusted Jesus as their Savior. They've received the gift of salvation. But Father, for those who haven't, for those who have been trying hard to earn your favor or to be good, or maybe haven't even thought about it at all, Lord, I pray that you will tap them on the shoulder of their heart today and help them take the next step in their relationship with you. Maybe it's exploring further about Jesus. Maybe it's talking to someone about the questions or issues that they're wrestling with. Or maybe it might be that you're leading them to trust Jesus as their personal Savior. So Father, at this Christmas time, we ask that you would do a mighty work in all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.